Turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 28. Now, this is God speaking. He says, "My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him." Talk about the seed of David, the seed of Israel. "His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgressions with the rod." God promises to judge Israel with a rod, to punish them for their sin. If they do not follow the laws of God, God promises to punish them. And he says, "In their iniquity with stripes, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is going out of my lips." Isn't God good? God says, "I will not break my covenant with Israel. No matter how deep a sin Israel falls in, I won't break my covenant. They are my chosen people. I am going to restore them." And someday the Bible says Israel will be totally restored and will be rule over all the world and rule from Jerusalem. That will be during the millennium. But he says, if you break my laws and my statutes, you live in sin, I'm going to punish you. He did that to Israel, didn't he? It's still taking place. Well, Israel ceased to exist from 70 AD to 1948. They ceased to exist. Did God punish them? Very much so. Very much so. Question, in principle, will God punish our church if we tolerate sin? And the answer is yes, he will. We will not have God's blessing. That angers me in this sense. It angers me that you work hard all week. You're giving value. You're giving precious money. You're working. You're giving. You are praying. You're serving. And God is not blessing. And why isn't God blessing? Because we have someone living in sin. I am fully aware every one of us is a sinner. I am not talking about you getting mad this week and having a temper and then repenting. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you being at work and being deceitful and lying to somebody and then you're convicted and you repent. And I'm not talking about anything where you're repenting. I'm talking about when there is sin in your camp and there's no repentance. There's no repentance. I'm going to keep right on living that way. Now, I know there are drug addicts and there are alcoholics that get caught and they seem to be overwhelmed by it or bound by it. And there is a battle taking place. I understand that. We've had over the years, we've had many, many drunkards at the altar praying, asking for forgiveness, fighting the battle, trying to get victory over it. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people who are blatantly living in sin and there's no repentance. No repentance. So watch what he says here in verse 6. He says to the church at Corinth, "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" The whole church will fall into sin, is guilty. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." He says, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Unreproved, unpunished sin will infect the whole mass. It ruins the testimony of the entire church. We cannot avoid any tolerance for sin. Unrepented sin. Verse 9, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators." Not to company means not to associate with fornicators. Now, fornication, what is it? Fornication is any sexual activity outside of marriage. Premarital sex, pornography, any sexual activity, homosexuality, is all fornication. Adultery, sexual activity outside the marriage. He says, do not associate with what? With fornicators. He says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Now, listen, in daily life, you are going to be associated with unbelievers. If you're a doctor and you belong to a medical association or a nurses association, or you belong to a union or something, you're going to be working not with all believers. You're going to be working with some unsaved people. He's not talking about that. That you cannot avoid working with people that some people are living in sin. All right? He's not saying that is wrong. He's talking about your relationship with other believers. He says in verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, that means someone that is called a Christian person, someone that is professing believer. They're professing. Maybe they're not really saved, because you know what? If you're really saved and you're living in a gross sin and you're not convicted, you're not saved. All right? But he says here, he says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. We don't go out to eat with them. We don't go out for fellowship. We don't go bowling with them. We don't sit down beside them in church and say, hey, it's great to have you. If they're here to repent, then wonderful. If they're here to flaunt their sin, then there's no accompanying with them. If it is not dealt with, and we treat them just like, hey, everything's wonderful, then they're not going to stop their sin. They're not going to repent, and it won't be long before they're facing the judgment of God. God is going to deal with it. And you and I are much better off in our own life to judge our own sin and to deal with it. If I won't deal with my own sin, I can be certain that God will. He says in verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. All God is saying is, you know what? I'm going to judge the unsaved. You don't have to worry about the unsaved. I will judge them. They're without the church. But I need you as a church of Christ to judge those that are in the church. Should a person living in sin take the Lord's table? Well, no, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't. Corinthians 11 is very clear that if you take the Lord's Supper while you're living in sin, you're bringing God's judgment right down on top of you. Should a person living in sin be accepted into our church? No, they shouldn't. They should not be accepted until they repent. So if you cast a person out, what are you trying to do? Well, you're trying to get them to repent. You're trying to get them to turn from their sin. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, in 2 Corinthians 2, it talks about the same man that we're talking about in 1 Corinthians 5. Verse 7. It says, so that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him. Apparently, this man came back and he repented. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. When he was cast out of the church, he repented and he came back. And he says, watch. He says, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Be careful you don't beat yourself up with past sin. But this man was living in immorality. He repented, and Paul said to the church at Corinth, forgive him, love him, so he's not overwhelmed in his sin. He's not overwhelmed in his guilt. Boy, that's one of the great tasks that we have. We are to love each other, forgive each other, lift each other up, encourage each other, that we're not overwhelmed in our past sin. So he says here in verse 8, he says, wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love towards him. Confirm your love towards him. Give evidence of it. Demonstrate your love towards someone that they've repented of their sin. He says in verse 9, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You know, I said this in both services today, and I read this week. I think Charles Spurgeon said it. This is true. This is so true. The purpose of the prophet in the Old Testament was not to please the people. The purpose of the prophet was to be profitable to the people. And I think it can be said of a pastor today. The purpose is not to please his people. The purpose is that you profit from what you hear. If you're living in sin, and you just keep living in sin, and you come here every Sunday and you're pleased, there's no profit in that. The purpose is that your people profit, that you learn the Bible, you learn Scripture. From learning Scripture, you learn how to live. And from learning how to live, you're going to get the blessing and the rewards of God. Now watch here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading at verse 6. He says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. So Paul says, do not walk with anybody that's walking disorderly or living in sin.